In listening to Mr. Lydier's sermon last week, it brought back some memories that I had pretty much forgotten. As you know, I've been giving a series of sermons on memories and remembering, and he mentioned something that took me back to my earlier years when I left and moved from Atlanta to Starkville, Mississippi, to take a job of teaching at Mississippi State. It's a pretty big shock to move from Atlanta to Starkville. From the I was born and reared in a city. I wasn't a country boy by any means, but going from the largest city in the South to the smallest city in the South, well, not quite. I think Starkville maybe had about 12,000 people when you don't count the students. But it was a real shock. I started subscribing to the Starkville paper before we made the move just so I could learn more about the community. And at that particular time, the Atlanta paper was full of headlines of a serial killer that was on the loose that they were searching for. And I started getting the Starkville paper, and right about that time that, you know, all these headlines about the serial killer, the Starkville paper comes, and the headline, big print, right across the top, house robbed, radio stolen. So I thought, man, am I going into a different world? And it was a different world in many ways. You know, coming out into a rural area of Mississippi, I enjoyed my 7 years there, met a lot of good people and formed some good friendships there. One thing you do when you move into a new area, you know, you get to know people and you talk about, well, how'd you come into the church, what, and so forth, that sort of thing. And there was this one family, a big family. They were farmers. Their farm was, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 miles or so from Starkville. And many years ago, when those 8 or 10 kids, I'm not sure how many they had, because they were all pretty much grown and some had moved away. And I don't think I ever even met them all. But I think the youngest when I moved there was like 17. And so, she was a woman when I met her, but she was a kid back in the days that their first experience with the Sabbath came to be. And there was this minister who visited them and convinced them that they should be keeping Saturday as the Sabbath. And he was so convincing, they started following him, and he had a small group in that area. But as she was describing her life as a child, it wasn't a joy in the Sabbath. The idea of this minister was that the Sabbath should be strictly kept, very strictly kept. She told me that as a child, if any of the kids laughed, they were punished if they laughed on the Sabbath. You know, little children, they couldn't just kind of play around and talk and kind of have fun with each other on the Sabbath. Nothing like that. It was solemn. It was holy. And about the only things they could do, they couldn't sing unless they sang hymns. And about the only thing they could do was memorize scriptures. As soon as they were old enough to read and start memorizing scriptures, that's what they did. And Mr. Lydier was talking about this blind woman that I think he said memorized 5 books of the Bible. Well, this woman from that family, when she was a child, she memorized books of the Bible. She told me she had memorized the entire book of Proverbs and more than half of the book of Isaiah. And along about that time, they heard Herbert W. Armstrong on the broadcast, started listening to him and eventually started attending the Worldwide Church of God as a result. And, of course, then they learned a little bit better about what the Sabbath really means and how to observe it. But I was astounded when she told me that she had learned the entire book of Proverbs and more than half of the book of Isaiah. Now, I thought about that at the time, and when reminded of this in Mr. Lydia's sermon, you know, I think I could memorize books of the Bible. I think I could probably, if I really worked at it, I think I could probably memorize Jude, all 25 verses. But that would probably be pushing it for me just to do that. But, you know, our memories are good, but they're not that great when you come down to it. We forget a lot more than we remember. And trying to memorize things is a huge challenge. Now, I've been giving these sermons on memory, and one of these sermons I asked a couple, well, in all of these sermons I kind of addressed a couple of questions. Like, what does God remember was one of the first things we talked about. And also, what will God not remember? So we discussed those topics. Another was, what should we ask God to remember? What should we ask him to remember? And what should we ask God not to remember? So all those things we talked about. And then that last sermon talked about, what does science know about memory? And the conclusion there was, they don't know a lot. They have no idea why memory works, why we even have memory. You think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Somehow these living cells work together, and we remember things. Not everything. We forget a lot. But, you know, science can't explain that. And they can know a little bit about the how and what, because they can study how the brain through imaging, kind of lights up certain parts of the brain, get more active when you're trying doing certain kinds of memory exercises and things like that. So I have a little bit of understanding there. But it's really a mystery. Now, today I want to get into another subject related to memory. And that is, what does God want us to remember? Now, the simple answer is everything in this book. All right, so that's my sermon. Remember everything in the book. We'll now have our closing hymn. Well, I think maybe I should give a little bit more explanation than just remember what's in the book. Because that's when it comes down to it, this is our only source, the Word of God. And should we be spending our time memorizing major portions of the Bible, for example? Should we be doing that? Is that what God means when he says, remember? I want to start by looking at Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 and 3. Here where the Israelites are at the point of soon entering the promised land, and Moses' whole book of Deuteronomy is basically a one long sermon to the Israelites about getting ready to go into the promised land. And he writes in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through 40 years and these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So when you see that, it pretty much seems to say, you need to remember everything in the book. But does it mean to memorize the book? Or is the meaning more to understand, to know what's in the book? Now, one nice thing about the era we live in is we all have the book. And that wasn't always the case. You know, for a vast majority of history, few people had the book because there weren't printing presses to distribute it. And so it had to be hand-copied very carefully and so forth, and not many people did. But we have the book. So that by itself necessitates that, indicates that, well, we don't really have to remember it, but we certainly should remember where everything is so that we could go to it when we need help from God under various circumstances. And we certainly should know the principles. Now put yourself into this account. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through these 40 years. Well, he didn't lead you through those 40 years, but he has led you, depending on when he called you into the church. In my case, he's led me for some 55 plus years now. So he's led me a lot longer than he led those Israelites. And, you know, think about it. You know, how about you? How long has your journey been as a Christian? Some, not too long. Others, really long. But notice the things that he says in the scripture here. He basically raises 4 points. These 4 things, first he said that he led them, humbled them, tested them, and the reason was to know what was in their heart. Now, what about your lifetime as a Christian? Any of you not been tested? Raise your hands if you've never been tested. You need to come up here and talk to the rest of us about how you figured this out. You know, we can put ourselves in their place, not that we were on the Exodus, but we were on an exodus from this world, looking towards God's kingdom. And so this idea of living by every word of God really means that our survival, our spiritual survival, depends on every word of God, that we know this. And of course, these words are all recorded in the Bible. And let's go to Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. When Christ began his ministry and Satan came to tempt him, in verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So Christ knew his Bible, and he quoted Deuteronomy 8. He quoted that passage. So he knew his Bible, and he had memorized scriptures. Did Christ memorize the whole Bible? Well, basically he inspired it all, but now he was a human being. You know, he wasn't the Son of God anymore in the sense of a spiritual being. He was a human being. And so we had to do it like we do it, with our human brains. So if we're to live by every word of God, should we really memorize a lot of things? Well, take the King James Version of the Bible. It has 1,189 chapters, 31,103 verses, and 807,361 words. That's over three quarters of a million words. Don't think that I'm going to be memorizing the Bible anytime soon. But in my 55 plus years, I think I have come to know the Word of God pretty well. But then again, I'm always learning new things every time I prepare a sermon, I'm learning things. I'm teaching myself. You know, so what I want to do is talk about, well, what does God want us to remember? I'm going to go through a list here. We're going to make a list of things that God says to remember. Most of these scriptures will be just one or two verses, occasionally a few longer verses. But we're going to develop a decent list of what I did is I went through every place where God said, remember or don't forget. And took just a few scriptures to emphasize each of the things that I'm going to list here. But this is a pretty good list of things that God emphasizes, the things he says, now this is really important. Remember this, remember that. Of course, remember everything. Know the Bible, but particularly these things. All right, so let's look at some of those. First is remember the true God. Remember the true God. Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots, some in house and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we rise and stand up. So, and I'll put in bold the emphasis on the words remember as we go through these scriptures. But yeah, remembering God, how often does that not happen? That, you know, this was a psalm, so it was looking back on a lot of Israel's history and a lot of the problems they had with not remembering the true God and becoming associated with false gods. But remember the true God. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Ecclesiastes is kind of a melancholy book. Solomon seems to be looking back on his life and recording some of the things he's learned, but recording that he kind of learned them too late, a lot of these things. And like in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, don't wait too long. Don't get too old before you really take things seriously with God. Or in verse 6 and 7 of Ecclesiastes 12, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosened or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You know, so this focus on the true God, you might say, is first and foremost that God wants to make sure we remember. Another important one, of course, is remember God's covenants. Psalm 132, beginning in verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. And then this is in quotes, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up into the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. And so the psalm is quoting Jacob, saying he was dedicated to building a house for God, the temple. Now, of course, he ended up not building it, but making all the plans for it, and his son Solomon did. But then, in wrapping down to verse 10, for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn, and again, this is a quote, the Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn away from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the promise, the covenant that God made with David, which goes back to the covenants they made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and right on down the line. And then if you look at 2 Kings 17, verse 38, This is just one verse, and this whole chapter of 2 Kings is writing about the destruction of the northern 10 tribes. When this was written, that chapter was written, the northern 10 tribes, they were gone. The people had been carted off to different places. Maybe there was a remnant left there, but pretty much those people were gone. There was no Israel, northern Israel anymore. It was gone. And so this chapter is talking about that to Judah. It was a message, look at what happened to your brothers. You're on the same path. But then verse 38, and this covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. Now, what is he talking about? The old covenant. They forgot it. They turned to other gods. They were gone. They were a nation no longer. So, yes, the old covenant, we under the new covenant. That's the most important one for us, because that's the one that we're living under now. But there are a dozen covenants of different types that God made with individuals down through the ages. And remember all those covenants, because they're promises that God made. And let's go on to another one. Remember his works. Remember his works. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 12 and 13. This is repeated again in Psalm 105, verse 5. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Remember his works. You know, we talk about Christ's works a lot in broadcast, in the old Worldwide Church of God World Tomorrow program. That was a major emphasis, talking about the works of God, which he did, and ones that are to come. It's important. Psalm 77, verses 10 and 11. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. That's how we know there's a God, by looking back at the works. For example, the creation. For example, the brain. And that magic that seems to happen that we remember things until we forget. And how does that work? You forget all about something, and then somebody's like Mr. Lydia talking about this woman that memorized the Bible. All of a sudden, I remembered that I knew a woman that memorized books of the Bible. I hadn't thought about that in probably 30 years, but it was there. How does that work? But that's part of God's work, his creation. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of your of many generations. That's Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the numbers of the children of Israel. Now, of course, it's talking about the history of Israel. We got a lot more history of God's people to look back on than just that. But that's, you know, this book would be a lot shorter if it just had all the rules, you know, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. Suppose that was all in there, that nothing else. So here's the rule book, follow, kind of like a code of the law. You ever looked into the code of the law somewhere in the state or anything like that? This is so much more than that. So he says, well, look back. Look back at history. History that of God's people in particular, and how they either followed and were blessed or turned away and were cursed, that sort of thing. And we do that. You look at our publications, the internet, Discern Magazine. There's a a feature in Discern magazine called Wonders of God's Creation. Remember that? Seeing that? It appears every month, pretty much. Jeremy Latier and James Capo. And it's just a one-page thing, but it takes some animal, some creature, some something about the wonders of the creation, that God made these kind of things. And so, see, we're doing those kind of things as a church, as a work. Malachi 6, verses 3 through 5. O my people, what have I done to you, and how have I wearied you? Testify against me, for I have brought you up from the land of Egypt. So he's asking a question. What have I done to you? How have I wearied you? What's going on here? He said, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, the king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Acacia, the Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Now everybody remembers Balaam, because that donkey could talk. But do you remember all the other stuff that was going on related to that? What Balaam said counseled, and what Balak counseled, what Balaam replied. Do you even remember all the details of that? Yeah, maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you don't, it might be a good idea to go back and look it up, because God says remember that episode. That is particularly important to remember. Psalm 111, verses 2 through 4. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now, he's made those works. He's designed things specifically this way. He might say, to impress us, to make us understand just how great this God we worship is. Ezekiel 6, verse 8 through 10. Yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations. And when you are scattered through the countries, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by your adulterous heart, which has departed from me. And by their eyes which play the harlot after their idols, they will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed and all their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring calamity upon them. And so he's talking about the exile and the disappearance from history's sight of Israel, except for the Jews. But the rest just kind of disappeared, the lost 10 tribes of Israel, as history refers to it. But he says some of those will escape. Escape what? The world. They will escape the world, and they will remember, and they will pass along to other generations, so that God's word will not be permanently forgotten. And you sitting here are the end product of that. You know, some of you are actual physical descendants of those lost 10 tribes, but all of us are spiritually the descendants, because where else would we learn if it hadn't been passed on from generation to generation to generation? You know, that truth has come down to us. So, you know, this is really a prophecy. We're part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. In Nehemiah 4:14, and look, And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. And this was, of course, when Nehemiah was trying to get the temple built. The exiles that had come back weren't too motivated. They were kind of looking out for themselves, not too motivated to build the temple. Nehemiah was reminding them to do the work. Don't forget the work is the message there. Then another one, remember where blessings come from. Remember where blessings come from. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he has sworn to your fathers, as it is to in this is this day. Now, notice what he says here. He says, God will give you power to get wealth. He didn't say he would make you wealthy. He said he would give you the power to get wealth. But it's up to you to use that power properly. He's given us the abilities to do that, but we still have to do our part, you might say. We have to take advantage of what he's given us. He's given us the power to get wealth. And that's where blessings come from. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. How often do you sing of God's righteousness? Well, every Sabbath. The Lord is my shepherd, that we just sung. Songs like All Glory, Laud, and Honor, All Hail the Power, Crown Him with Many Crowns, Rejoice, the Lord is King, Glorious Things of Thee are Spoken, Great is the God who made the universe. I could go on and on. Holy, Mighty, Majesty. You look at that, you start just going through the hymnal, and practically every one of them is remembering God and his blessings. We sing them. We fulfill the scripture every week. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That sounds familiar. Bless the Lord, eternal. Well, I better not sing it. I might send a lot of people out in the hall right quick. But bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives you your iniquities, who heals you all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So, all these blessings, and these really some great blessings. The blessing of healing doesn't get much better than that, does it? That we know that God is there. Remember God when it seems like he has forgotten you. Sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? Getting a difficult trial, you're going to think, well, God, where are you? Do something. What are you waiting for? I'm going to look at just one passage here. It's Psalm 42. It's only 11 verses. I'm going to go through the whole psalm and look at it carefully. It's an interesting psalm in this regard, when you feel like God seems like maybe he's forgotten you. It begins with a lament in verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? This is clearly, obviously written during the exile, when these Israelites were being mocked. Where is your God to save you now? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. You know, reading this passage reminds me of something, maybe it was last week, week before, and I forget who was talking or how the conversation came around to that. But the conversation came up of remembering some of the old Feast of Tabernacles, when we had 8,000 people at a single feast site. You know, looking back, what happened? Where'd all those people go? You know, now we're excited if we get 1,200 to a feast site, like Orange Beach, which is typically one of the largest, if not the largest, feast site in many years. You know, where are they? Had they forgotten God? What happened? Well, let's continue on here, because then the writer here expresses an expression of hope in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So now he lifts himself up, you know. He says, why are you cast down? You have hope. As long as there's a God, you have hope. But then he falls back into a lament. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto the deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. So he's lamenting. He's missing Israel. He's remembering what was, how it was before the exile. But then another expression of hope in verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. A song in the night. Another one, very beautiful hymn. But then another lament. In verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? You know, taunting. And then we have an expression of hope in verse 11, the last verse here. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope is in God. I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So three times during this song, he talks about remembering God, remembering God, remembering God. Because you can get down. God says, remember God. When you're down, that's the time you really need to remember God. Now, it's interesting that so far in this list, I've been giving basically Old Testament scriptures. If you look at the words remember and forget not, those type of words, there's 190 times that they appear, but only 29 appear in the New Testament. The word's not used nearly as often in the New Testament. But we'll look at some as we go through some of these scriptures. Remember the resurrection and Christ's return. Now that seems like a simple one. 2 Timothy 2 verses 8 and 9. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, from which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Now, we have to remember Christ was resurrected. In 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 9, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for the future until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing. I talked about this verse in an earlier sermon. Do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack in his coming. His promise has some count slackness, but it is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, so God's there. He's going to return. Never forget that. Remember, you will have trials and persecutions. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they shall persecute you also. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Yeah. Trials, persecutions, that will come. John 16, verses 2 through 4. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you will remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you as at the beginning because I was with you. So he's bringing them along slowly. But now we're in John 16, just before his death. And he's explaining a lot of things to the apostles, and in turn, explaining them to us. Now, we can't say that we've been in this position where we've been kicked out of the church. Exactly. But isn't that really what happened back at the worldwide days when it fell apart? Weren't we basically kicked out? Because they said, hey, we're changing the doctrines. We're changing a lot of the doctrines. Now, if you like them, stay with us. If you don't, well, that's your problem. You know, that was kind of the thing. As a minister at the time, you know, it was preach what we tell you to preach or get out. Yeah, so we got out. A lot of us got out. You know, so we've gone through, you might say, a mini version of what they were talking about here, where they literally grabbed you by the collar and the pants and threw you out, maybe. But we've basically been, you might say, forced out because of our beliefs. In Hebrews 10, verse 32 and 33, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. You know, remember those. Remember the trials. Remember the problems. They're lessons for us. You know, God doesn't bring trials on us lightly. He's not sitting up there and saying, "Yeah, I think just for the fun of it, let's see how put your name in there is going to react if we do this." Or if we let this happen. Let's just see. It'll be fun. It'll be some entertainment for us. Just to see how you behave or how you react. Boy, are you going to be surprised. You know, God doesn't operate that way. But he does know when and how we need to learn lessons. And so, yeah, there will be trials and persecutions. Luke 17, verses 31 and 32, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And you see Christ's point here, Christ's example of knowing the scriptures and applying them to his time as opposed to Lot's time. What happened to Lot's wife? It wasn't that she just disobeyed and wanted to see the fireworks. It's just she longingly missed what she was leaving. She was sad that she was leaving that life and just wanted one last look. When we look back at our past, we could be in the same situation if we look back, oh man, those were some good times. Back when I was in high school, or when I was had those first few jobs and I was in my 20s and life was going good. Yeah, before you came into the church. Looking back, finally, I enjoy looking back on my life, but not from the point of, ooh, that was so great, but rather, yeah, I learned a lot during those days. Remember and obey the commandments. Now, this is kind of a no-brainer, but look at this one. Numbers 15, verses 39 and 40. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy for your God. Pretty straightforward. But as I scan the audience here, I see a problem. I do not see a single tassel. Where are the tassels? It says, you shall have a tassel. What happened to your tassel? And I don't have a tassel either. What's going on here? Why aren't we all wearing tassels? Well, what's your tassel? Let's say your tassel is not physical. Your tassel is spiritual. And as a name, the Holy Spirit. That's your tassel. And it shows. If you have God's Spirit, people know you're different. They see that you're different, and it's that Holy Spirit that helps you remember, do all the commandments, and be holy for your God. So we don't need a physical tassel. We have a spiritual one with us all the time. Psalm 103, verses 15 through 18. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone, its place remembered no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. A lot of emphasis there. I will delight myself in your statutes. This is Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you. The whole ball of wax. Now, some people kind of have the idea that there's these Ten Commandments, and you really should keep them, more or less. But other than that, forget it. But there's so much more to God's law. And very few people really keep the commandments, the judgments, and statutes. Psalm 119, 52 through 56. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked. who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. Yeah, that's what we live by. Malachi 4:4, right at the end of the Old Testament here. Remember the laws of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. It's pretty comprehensive. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now that's a promise. Long life and peace. Psalm 119:83. For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. And we see that over and over, by the way, in Psalm 119. You know, 6 or 7 times, that's the same thing, different parts of that long psalm. Do not forget your statutes. Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I have delivered them to you. Yeah, there are traditions in the church. We have an order of services, for example. But there are all these traditions that we understand through the examples in the Bible that we follow. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, you notice this is the only scripture I've given you that doesn't have the word remember in it. But it's basically saying that, and there's I hesitated really in this sermon from the point of view that so much is there that is emphasizing remember, but doesn't use one of those magic words, remember, do not forget, remembrance, things like that. But think about this one. This could be rephrased as, do not forget that it did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. That's really the message, that we should remember that. Remember your sins and repent. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord, your God, to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. I think he could probably say pretty much the same thing about us. From the time that he was called, or you were called, till now. Yeah, it hasn't been that nice, smooth trip. We've had to learn a lot of hard lessons sometimes. Ecclesiastes 11:8, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Yeah, we have to go back and remember the sins and change. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O your transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do my pleasure. So it's kind of a double-edged scripture here. Remember the bad things and change, but also remember the good things and the promises to come. Matthew 5, verses 22 and 23. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember, your brother has something against you. And then it goes on to explain that you need to deal with that. Deal with that problem. Whether it's you or him or both of you, deal with it. And then Revelation 2 and verse 5, a message to the church at Ephesus, which is a message to us today. Also, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And then the church of Sardis, Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Yeah, this remembering your sins and repenting, it's life or death. Remember to meditate. Psalm 63, verses 6 through 8. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. I think sometimes we don't meditate enough. We just kind of, we're busy. Lots of things going on. Don't have time to meditate. We need to, and meditation is important. Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. And we can learn. Remember to watch for false prophets. Acts 20, verse 30 through 31. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Yeah. The disciples knew this was coming. They knew it was going to happen. It still happens. It hasn't changed. Jude 17 through 19. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Not having the Spirit. Yeah, it keeps happening. Remember, you were once without Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which Christ prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, but what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Yeah, we were that way. You know, he's speaking to converted Gentiles here, but it applies to us because we were once without Christ. And remember what it was like before. And then Romans 11, verses 17 and 18. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. The root supports you. Yeah, it's saying, hey, don't think that you're doing God a favor here. That's not the way it works. You know, remember what you were before. It's God that's doing us the favor. Remember others' trials. Colossians 4:18. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. That's the last verse of Colossians. Paul's asked them to remember his trials. 1 Thessalonians 2:9, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, for we preach to you the gospel of God." Remember the labor and toil of the ministry. In this case, is what Paul was saying. 2 Timothy 1:3, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, and my forefathers did as our forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." That was Paul's attitude. Hebrews 13:3, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Now remember, how do you remember as if you were suffering the same thing yourself? That's kind of easy to do if you suffer that particular thing. But take Sadie Fleischman, the 8-year-old with the scoliosis. I doubt if as many of you have had any type of scoliosis problems. Maybe some slightly, but I don't see anybody's all been over and so forth. And they're talking about multiple surgeries and things. It's hard to put yourself in that place not having experienced it, but you have experienced other things, sometimes very severe. And you have to use that to put your way you feel and the way you pray when you pray for Sadie as if you were suffering with her. With Elsie Taggart, second stage breast cancer recently. All these local illnesses, people that are not here today, that are dealing with various problems, illnesses, things. My wife is still not here. She's slowly gaining strength. She has this persistent cough that just doesn't seem to want to go away. And so it makes it difficult for her to even think about coming to church and interrupting services that way. We've all gone through a lot of these trials, but not necessarily the same ones we're hearing about from others. But God says, try to put yourself in their place when you pray for them. Remember those in authority over you. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Yeah, you need to remember us. Anyone who stands up here and preach a sermon, split sermon, or anything else, when they're up here preaching the word of God, remember them, encourage them, pray for them. And remember the kindness and giving to others. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 22. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but killed his son, and as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." Now remember the circumstances here. Jehoiada was the priest who basically raised Joash as king, showed him how to be king, taught him the laws, and he was blessed. But then Jehoiada died. Jehoiada's son took his place. Joash killed him because his son was telling Joash, "Hey, you're sinning. You've turned away from God." That was the kindness that Joash returned. Wickedness, not kindness. Remember the kindness of others. Acts 20, verse 35, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." Or Hebrews 13:16, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Do not forget to entertain strangers, Hebrews 13:2. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Have you ever experienced an angel unaware? You were unaware that it was an angel, but as you look back on it, could that have been an angel? You ever experienced that? I really haven't. But many years ago, a woman told me the story of her experience. She had her little son, and she was entering into a department store. That was back in the days before the automatic doors. So you actually had to pull the door open. And she went through with her son. He stuck his hand between the door and the door frame on the hinge side. And the door closed, crushed his fingers, and he couldn't get it out. She yelled and screamed and created this huge commotion, like he had his arm cut off or something, you know. Just complete panic. The poor mother was there. She was describing this. People gathering around. She started to open the door, and it put a little more pressure on the finger, and he screamed even louder. She didn't know what to do. Nobody else knew what to do. And we've got to get somebody in here, call the fire department, do this. And this stranger comes up. And he puts his hand on the door, talks to the boy, and then opens the door. There was a little yelp. His hands free. His mother counting the fingers to make sure they were all there. And, you know, there were some bruises, but that was it. He just turns around. He wanted to thank the person. He's gone. She asked the people, where did he go? Where did he go? Nobody knew. He just seemed to have disappeared. Was it an angel underwear? I don't know. She believes it was. They're out there. They're watching over us. Don't forget to entertain strangers. That brings me to my last slide here. I want to summarize all of this. And perhaps you've noticed there's some patterns to everything that I've given you. This first group, remember the true God, remember God's covenant, remember his works, remember where blessings come from, remember the resurrections and Christ's return, remember God when it seems like he has forgotten you. They all relate to God. Remembering some aspect of God. And then there's a second group. Remember you will have trials and persecutions. Remember and obey the commandments. Remember your sins and repent. Remember to meditate. Remember to watch for false prophets. Remember you were once without Christ. Here, these are all about you, the self, and what you need to be doing. And then that last group, remember others' trials. Remember those in authority over you. Remember kindness and giving to others. Talking about others. You know, three basic things that God wants to remember. God, yourself in terms of obeying God and doing goodness and kindness to others. Remember, never forget. These highlight some of the most important things that God wants us all to remember. We want to remember the whole book. But there's certain things that we really want to remember.